Is it? Is it? That works.
Sure. Yeah,
All
okay.
right.
So, interesting side note, you can only join a broadcast apparently if you hold your phone in landscape mode.
That makes sense. I mean, I get it.
No, it doesn't.
I
No, it
mean,
doesn't. That doesn't make any
that's
sense.
weird. Hold on.
Now I've got to
Can
figure
you
out how to.
hear this?
Nope. I do not hear your ambient noise, but I need to find more light. More light. More. If you try really
I'm
hard,
trying
you
to
can
get
make it.
my headphones to work and they're not working.
I was gonna say I can hear you fine.
Yeah,
Oh, I
but
gotta
I want to use
sit on the
the
floor like a madman.
yeah, I think whatever. This thing's purposely, I can hear it like jumping over to my headphones for a split second and it jumps off. So fuck it. Whatever. Fuck it, we'll do it live. Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
My favorite part of our show is that you have all of this technology at your fingertips and no way to
And none
actually
of it ever
utilize it.
works. Yeah.
Not once. What's funny is I'm debuting a new microphone and stand for the Reed Pile tomorrow.
Yeah.
And I consciously said I don't want to do that for Team Hammerfist for one reason. It requires me to open the door to my office again. And I just can't do that again this week so quickly. I hate working from home, Jesse Long. It is the worst goddamn experience I've ever had in my life.
I've done it a few times and I don't like it. I don't like it. Like,
No.
I love being home. I don't particularly, I mean, if I feel if I had the choice between being at home and being at in, you know, Winter Park at a desk, just going.
Well, yeah, but like work is supposed to be like trudging. Like there is supposed to be a lot of ugh, I'm at work. And it's hard to have ugh, I'm at work when I'm sitting in a gaming chair and I am, 26 centimeters away from my PS4 and I'm supposed to say, ugh, I'm at work, but
Yeah.
also I've got 900 comic books behind me that I can read at any
Yeah,
time.
no,
Like that's
yeah,
my sanctuary.
it's I'm at work with, you know, my loved ones and my some of my favorite people in the entire world. I'm at work.
Yeah,
There's
it
my
screws you.
child and, you know, my wife and
And all of our cats, yes.
yeah, no. It's a weird sort of the dichotomy of it, I can understand. I want to use a big word, but
That's fine. You used it well enough. All right. Enough bullshit.
enough bullshit.
Now on to the bullshit.
On to the ball.
I am Sussman, Rick Sussman, joined as always by the incomparable American dad-ass Jesse Long, as we take turns sipping what is probably 2 week coffee for our two old bodies.
Yes, and I made this too long ago, so now it is just sort of like lukewarm.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna say right now, as has been the past few episodes, this episode has been brought to you by our friends at COVID. So I'm really ready. If anything, this is the most important thing. I'm ready for COVID to be over, just so I can actually be inside with you, because
Yeah.
instead of in my garage in the 46 degree weather with my blankie, and in a beach chair in my garage.
Do I want to ask why you didn't just go to your wife and say, "Hey, honey, I'm going to broadcast the show inside this week because it's goddamn freezing out there?"
Rick, I'm gonna tell you a secret. She's
Okay.
a
While that may or may not be the case, I know for a fact you don't live in a one bedroom flat and you're not like, like some sort of Oliver Twist character where you're all huddled together or like some sort of Wonka-esque multi-person bed is not happening. I know that is a fact. So I'm going to assume there is more than one bedroom in your
This
house.
is true. I could always kick my boys out and use their bedroom, and then we can.
Or hear me out on this, perhaps use a living room. Or a dining
Oh
room.
no. That's where the people are. There's too many
You
those rooms. There's too
don't want to be where the people are, Jesse.
I'm saying if we use my boys' rooms, my boys' room, we can, it could be like, they can show off like Ninjago Legos and all that kind of fun shit. So there we go.
I like whenever you get nervous, you just take another sip of coffee. Like
Yeah, I know.
I'm gonna use that as a
There's already
signal.
a party about to like here, so.
All right. This week's episode, as Jesse Long has mentioned, is brought to you by our friends at COVID-19. COVID-19, stay your ass inside. We also are going to be talking this week about the fact that we haven't had a show since November. This was actually planned. It was just because holiday season always is a bit of a chore for Jesse and I. Jesse, of course, has a large family. I have a severe lack of caring about the holidays. So those two things combine together for a lot of
It's
disinterest.
synergy.
There is a lot of synergy. Jesse is really excited to be at home with his family, and I'm really excited that I don't have to work. So, there's a lot of positives happening at all times. Jesse, we've had a lot happen in the world of not just pro wrestling, but in the world of pop culture. WandaVision debuted yesterday to a bunch of people saying that's a TV show, way to go, and very little else. So that is a concern.
I watched it and I very much enjoyed it. I have no fucking idea what's going on, but that's a good thing. I mean, I kind of have an idea of what's going on, but yeah, it was good.
We'll get to app-based viewing pleasures much later on in the show. The biggest news, of course, for our circle of friends is the untimely and completely unexpected passing of one John Huber Brody Lee. I even mentioned this on the read pile when it happened, because it permeated into comic book nerdery, into wrestling Twitter. Everyone felt this man's passing, a true passing of a modern giant, both in stature and in person. And that is sort of where I wanted our discussion of this to fall. I don't want to get into speculation of how or why, because quite frankly, it's not our place, and it wasn't our place 3 weeks ago. It certainly isn't our place today. The interesting thing to me
Yeah, that'll be
about this,
that'll be
what?
my sort of combo. What's pissing me off? What did I learn this week?
Okay, fair enough. Well, what I think is truly remarkable about the life of John Huber, Brody Lee, Luke Harper, what have you, Big Rig, is that whenever someone dies in pro wrestling, you get a ton of people who show up at the funeral or in front of a camera to say lots of really lovely things. If you watch the fantastic Dark Side of the Ring events on Vice, you even get Fatu talking ever so lovingly about Jimmy Snuka, to which everyone watching goes, but the thing about John Huber's passing was not that everyone had something nice to say, is that no one had anything negative to say. And the one thing that I took away from this more than anything was John did not really put his pro wrestling career in that high of a standard. He was a very good pro wrestler. He was a potential main eventer if it ever got around to it at some point. But he was just happy to be a dude who collected his paycheck. And I love all the stories of his friends ending their statements with him by saying, him telling them, okay, goodbye forever. And then he would go be with his family. And there was something very genuine. Like, I understood a guy looking at some of his best friends and being like, I'll never see you again. Goodbye. And then taking off.
No, yeah, it's
That is unseen in this industry. That is unheard of, Jesse.
No, I agree. I if obviously it's not a positive thing that he's dead, but if the positives coming out of it's just the yeah the sort of unity that you've seen in wrestling and everybody's that nobody not a single person has been like, yeah, well, he didn't give me a good tip one time at a Steak and Shake. So, fuck that guy. Like everything has been the most, incredibly positive. He was a sweet guy. He was a really nice guy. Obviously, he cared a lot about his family. He touched a lot of lives in a positive way. And like then you can and some of the more recent stuff you hear, like he was pushing for a lot of some of like the Dark Order members in AEW, not just, it wasn't just about him. He like, guys like people like Anna Jay, he would like push for them to, it just seemed like a fucking amazing person.
Well,
It's just
nothing to me was
heartbreaking.
more telling. Yeah, it's truly heartbreaking. It's also like there's a line from a Kanye West song about roses. Nobody gets the flowers while you can still smell them.
Yeah.
That doesn't appear to be the case for this gentleman, though. The outpouring of emotion, specifically by Big E on Twitter, was twofold. It was beautiful and it was gut-wrenching. And the idea that this big, huge human being saw like somebody have a bad match or was complaining on Twitter about not having a good time and would randomly just text people. Somebody got their bell rung. I forget the exact story, but somebody got their bell rung really bad in a match. And John would text them and say, "Hey man, this is John. I saw you had a really tough match. Da, da, da. I just wanted to check and make sure you were okay." And you read these stories, you're like, "Holy shit, nobody, I don't even do this with people I know." And it's one of those things where it's like this guy really was a good person, and it sucks that he died at 41. But look, I have terrible news. People die. It is not good more often than not. And the only positive that you can take from someone's passing is if they made such an impact on your life. And I wish I had it. We had very, very, very few interactions when he was in the WWE. I mean, literally, I walked by him, and that was the majority of what I knew about John. But the people I know who are incredibly close to him have endless stories, things I can't repeat. I'm not going to, but just endless stories about how amazing of a human being this was. And damn, man, that sucks.
No, I don't think you're Facebook friends with him, but I'm friends with Facebook friends. I don't want to say like, oh, we're really close friends.
Oh, we're super close buddies.
Yeah, we're super close. But he was a friend that I made in wrestling over the past few years. And now we're still Facebook friends. This guy Dan, he I don't know, you might remember Dan. He was a referee from like locally. And I didn't realize like he and his wife and Brody's wife were like best friends, and his Dan's daughter and like Brody's like youngest kid, they were like best friends. And so like it was just to see, and I mean, it was really sad to like watch. Obviously, it's sad regardless if you have any sort of tangential connection to it, but just to watch the real heartbreak of it was that was tough. It was really sad. And like it hit his, it's like his daughter's like 4 or 5 or something like that, and it hit her really hard, and it was just really tragic.
So we're going to dovetail that a little bit into our next topic, and you're going to see how it sort of rolls in.
Oh,
AEW,
I was gonna say
yeah.
one thing. I will give credit. I feel like both companies handled it, like obviously AEW's handled it like amazingly. They treated him like he was,
Well, hang on. I know where you're going with this. Just bear with me. I'm going to set you up. So we saw AEW do something that the WWE has never done. Well, that's not true. They used to do it a lot more, but then Chris Benoit murdered his family, which is lean into the passing of a contemporary. And they didn't just lean into it, they made an entire event about it. We saw this for Owen Hart to a lesser degree. Owen's death was tragic, and then Vince was like, "All right, everybody, let's get out there." At least with
Show
AEW,
goes
they
on,
took like,
pal.
yeah, come on, pal, get out there and tell everybody about your brother falling to his death. But with AEW, they booked the show very literally around celebrating his life. Minus One is now one of the best characters in the history of pro wrestling.
I would say,
And
the closest thing they did was Eddie dying, but even then, it wasn't like they did a Latino Heat themed episode of Raw. Like,
right.
there was obviously lots of mentioning, and like Chavo got to have a big moment, and those kinds of things. But even then, like AEW leaned all the way in.
And I think that you had to do that. Obviously, as we mentioned, this man was universally beloved, And I think more than just a tribute video, they really gave not just the fans, but the family and the brotherhood and sisterhood of pro wrestlers in AEW and in the WWE who watched it and were commenting on it on social media. They gave everybody that moment to just sit there and be sad that a person has left us, but be glad that they were here to begin with. And this is where I think you wanted to pick up and talk
Well, yeah,
about.
I was just gonna say how like AEW did such a good job handling it. You know, like they did like the whole like Brody Lee themed episode essentially. And I honestly, you know, like we dunk on WWE constantly. That's like it's like the nucleus of our show. But I think WWE handled it honestly perfectly fine. Yeah, there was some people like people were complaining on the internet about it. But like quite honestly, I don't know how the hell WWE is supposed to handle that. This is the
Right.
only time that I can think of that a living, active wrestler has gone to their competition and died. That
Yeah.
I mean, like, is I can't see WWE. WWE is in kind of a weird spot. Like, they wouldn't have been able. Like, they can't do a Luke Harper tribute show. You know, like they, or they. I mean, they could. I mean, obviously, it's their fucking company.
Well, they were definitely within their power to do that, but I don't think that would have been fair.
No.
What AEW and WWE did here is they both sort of looked at each other, and WWE said, "You guys are going to handle this, right?" And AEW says, "Yeah, we've got this." And they said, "Okay, we're going to do a little something because obviously he was a big part of our family
Yeah.
too." And they say, "Yeah, absolutely, but we've got, you know, like it's
Yeah,
like WWE came
Monday
in with
after, you know,
catering."
they did things, you know, like they did, like, it's Monday, you know what that means. And like Drew did the yeah. Like, you know, the little things, which is fine. I mean, like, honestly, I mean,
Xavier doing the
yeah.
and then hitting
And
the big
we
clothesline. That was so
can't
great.
base the next 2 months off of just Brody Lee references. It can't, you know, like, you can't just keep on, you got to move on at some point.
It's also not healthy, you know. And it's healthy to grieve, but it's
Yeah.
also healthy to move on. It's important.
Yeah.
I think the WWE did everything in this situation as best as they conceivably could. I think it was good for AEW to take the lead, and I hearken it to, I've been to a lot of funerals now, not more than I care to admit, but the actual funeral is held usually inside of like a church or some place where everyone gathers, and then you all go have cake and ice cream and food. And it was like the WWE handled the food
Yeah.
and AEW did everything else.
Yeah.
But this leads us to our next topic. How do you fix what is happening in the World Wrestling Entertainment industry of WWE, WWFE, WWWWWE,
Yeah, the
here's
WWE
a
really
question.
fucked it up. Just like you can't, it used to be able to, like, in the World Wrestling Federation. Now it's in the World Wrestling Entertainment.
In the world of wrestling entertainment,
Yeah. We're making moves,
not as
pal.
We tell stories. These are stories
Yeah.
that we're telling.
There's
Stories,
characters are
stories.
welcome.
So you put this on here. Obviously, you have a lot to talk about. What
I
is
don't
it
even
that you want to say?
I don't know if I just even have a lot to talk about. I just it's probably and this is also like a 2 week old topic that I put down. But I just again I wanted to circling back around to like the recurring theme that's happening on our show is the fact that something is wrong in the WWE. Like, there's okay, SmackDown is fine. Like, SmackDown's doing good for the most part. You know, like there's good stuff. You know, like Roman Reigns, oh, Roman and, you know, Shinsuke's, you know, yeah, all like happy, yay, we're yay. But on the whole, the WWE is still mostly unwatchable. It's
It's pretty, I mean, look, you're tap dancing around it. I can tell you what the problem is. It's very obvious.
yes.
You ain't got no damn fans.
Yeah.
I mean, so my job, I was very lucky. We never shut down at my job. We plowed through. Every time a stimulus comes through, I try and immediately put that money back into the community because I actually don't need it. With this next round, with this most recent round, my wife and I upgraded and got ourselves a brand new washing machine. She's over the moon about it. You know, we're stimulating the economy, all this other stuff. We're not sitting on the money. We don't need it. But even then, my boss and my boss's boss and everybody who works in and around me, we're all just sort of looking at each other like, and we touched on it at the start of the show. We're all working from home. There is no office, and no one in my company, and specifically no one in the WWE, has really taken a moment to just sort of say, we're charging through, but there's a fucking pandemic that's killed 2 million people as of yesterday. And I know, oh, there's 7 billion. Okay, well, I'm fairly confident. I don't have my calculator to do the math, but I believe 1% of 7 billion is 1 million. I think. I might be
I
wrong.
don't know.
But 2 million people, another 4 million people die, and that's the Holocaust.
Yeah.
So we're essentially one fourth a Holocaust into the pandemic. So if we're looking at what is considered the most horrific event in human history, the Holocaust, we're barreling towards that number on a planet-wide scale. And I think that's what you're starting to just see wrestlers just give up. And I don't mean that they're stopping to work as hard as they're working harder than ever.
Yeah.
I just, at what point do you expect them to just act like nothing is wrong?
Yeah, it's tough, and I don't know how you handle that. I mean, like, I don't know how you move forward. And then you hear like Drew, the WWE champion, has COVID-19, and that means he was at the PC when everybody else was there. And they're still, and 71-year-old Ric Flair is still there. I don't know. I don't know how you handle that as a live entertainment company that produces live in another way. I don't know how it's short. I don't know how you do that. I don't think you can't. I don't know if you can just stop. Devil's advocate. Can the WWE just stop? Because I don't think they can.
Well, they put everybody in the same, it wasn't the Performance Center, it was the Thunderdome, but
Oh, you're right. Yeah.
they put everybody in the same house, and that's a problem.
Yeah.
They should be able to instantly contact trace anyone who is within 6 feet of Drew McIntyre. And realistically speaking, if you have a centerpiece of your show test positive, then his entire influence tested positive, and their entire influence, and you should take 2 weeks off and say, that's it. We have to shut down for 2 weeks. Or at the very least, you can contact trace. That's how it's supposed to work. So, like, maybe you contact trace all the way out to the fact that, like, most of NXT wasn't
Yeah.
exposed. Or you just bring up the Evolve Boys or something. Or you ring up a whole bunch of, like, one-time use guys
Yeah.
and you're like, hey, fellas, we've got 2 weeks of alternative programming and you just have to come clean. But that's sort of the like the what you're grasping at there is like, well, what does the WWE do right now? Well, there was a time where buildings were crashed into by people in airplanes, where the WWE changed its programming for about 2 weeks because of it.
Yeah.
You can do it. You're the one of the biggest entertainment companies on the face of God's creation. You can do it. And I think what you're seeing, Jesse, and what you can't put your finger on is that nobody just wants to say, okay, this is bad.
Yeah.
This is really bad. And then, yeah, you look over at AEW and, there's a lot of stuff happening there and you're not too sure about what it is. What you're seeing, what I think you're seeing, is you are having a tough time separating. It used to be really fun to be like, okay, what's pro wrestling? And then what's the shoot? What's the work? What's
Yeah.
the shoot? And every now and again, you would get in that little sweet spot where you knew it was a work, but you also were told it was a shoot. But you're like, yeah, let's watch this. This is good.
Yeah.
Now everything's a shoot, and you want it to be a work again, and you just can't do it.
Yeah. No, I think you kind of hit the nail on the head. It's just this that's
That's a good noise for it. It's just.
yeah. No, and it's definitely both sides. Like, we had Drew this past week, but then you find out that Chris Jericho tested positive in September, and he may or may not have. He says he quarantined for 10 days, but He's also a Trump supporter.
When did this quarantine happen? Show me on the doll where the quarantine happened.
And
Now
exactly.
this also bleeds into our next topic a little bit. Actually a lot of it. I know it's gonna sound a little weird, but just go with me. This week on Wrestling Twitter, we had one T-Bar who pronounce his regular name for me, Jesse. I'm
It's
gonna make you
Dominic
laugh.
Dijakovic. Well, that was his
Dominic.
name, I think. His,
Yeah.
I guess so now is, but I don't know if it was his real name, but his name before coming to NXT and becoming Dominic Dijakovic was Donovan Dijak, I believe.
Dijak. That's how I know him. I know him as Dijak. Okay, so T-Bar got on social media and shot off his
I
mouth.
don't want to think about retribution at all. Just
You have to say it right. You gotta say it, like you have to like pop out of your mouth up or it doesn't work.
Yeah.
We'll go right into Nixon, right into Futurama Nixon. It's just a straight line from saying retribution to Futurama Nixon, no spacing, just straight across.
Retribution.
That's not bad. That's not
Charles.
bad. Charleston Chew. Charleston Chew,
What was it?
Spiro Agnew, Body of
Yeah,
Agnew.
body is the body of Spiro Agnew.
So yes, T-Bar got on social media, and half of what he said in his angry Twitter post, I actually agree with. I like when wrestlers get pissed about other wrestlers stealing their shit. It's just something that tickles me
Yeah.
because the I grew up in the 90s watching Nova, Supernova on ECW invent every single move in pro wrestling ever. So whenever a wrestler shows up, I'm like, well, that guy stole my finish. I'm like, oh, word, you invented the Fez press. There's actually a lot of this in entertainment. So like, do you remember Spartacus Blood and
I
Sand,
do
the
remember.
show on
I
yeah.
remember it being a thing when we worked at Movie Stop together, yes.
So the second season takes place in the past where like because they had, the main star had leukemia,
Yeah,
was
I do
terrible.
remember. Yeah, like sort of pivot real quick.
But in the middle of the second season, one of the guys who looks like, for all intents and purposes, young Shawn Michaels
Yeah.
gets into a street fight. And remember, this is ancient Greece, right? And he busts out a flying arm bar into a triangle choke. And I'm just like, my guy, Brazil was not even a state at this point. Like, it wasn't even a country. Like, you
Yeah.
can't do Brazilian jiu-jitsu. And then I said
In
that joke.
Brazilian jiu-jitsu.
I said that joke to somebody at the Jungle, right?
Yeah.
And they were like, well, yeah, but I mean, like, can you really say that Hoist Gracie was the guy to first throw his legs around another dude's head and like turn it into a triangle? And I'm like, throughout human history, I bet you that's been tried before. That's probably a good point.
Yeah.
So I love whenever wrestlers get really pissy about their
Oh,
moves,
yeah.
and I'm just like, tell me more about how you invented a fireman's carry into a knee lift. Tell me more about this.
It, what, yeah, the, what's the move? The move is ascent. What's, isn't it? How is it
It's a
different than?
fireman's carry into a DDT position that ends with a rising knee lift. So it's basically just a variation on the go to sleep.
Yeah, and again, it's just a variation of the go to sleep. Like, yeah.
So that part of his statement, T-Bar being mad that Sammy Guevara stole his move, made me go, let's see more about this.
Yeah.
But then he went and like really like crammed in a lot of shit talking into a very small amount of space
Yeah, you only
where
get
he complained
so you're like
240 characters,
dude.
yeah. He complained that Sammy Guevara was a virgin on another show or something like
AEW
that.
virgin, I remember that much.
And I looked at that half of the statement and I went, okay, now this is a problem because this goes from being like me just going, hey, to me just going, the fuck, dude.
Yeah, no, I yeah, the Twitter is such a weird place, man. Like,
It is. It's not real either. It's important to remember that you do not have that many
100%.
followers. Trust me.
I know it's under I, that's and that's actually that's how I've pitched it to my wife before, because some she's mulled over being on Twitter, just because, definitely because, like, like Facebook is, maybe they were wrong,
And here we are.
But you know, fuck you, Facebook. But you know, it, she's mulled over getting on Twitter and notifications. Sorry. And she's like, well, what do I do? It's like, you just whatever. It's not real.
Just say
But
shit. Who cares?
you know, there. It's Twitter is becoming an eFed, and
That's a fair
it
statement.
you know.
Yeah, that's a fair statement.
Except, you know, it doesn't matter how good your RP is, that no one ever wins the title in the end. There's no title.
No.
It's an event without a title.
The only champion of Twitter is Gail Simone,
Is
and that is it.
yes.
Literally everyone else, and there's Gail Simone, who doesn't even have a verified check mark, by the way. There's Gail Simone, and then there's literally everyone underneath her because her Twitter game is unstoppable.
Yes.
But it's
Gail
true, that
Simone
eFed statement.
is the James Moriarty Cassius of Twitter.
That
Nobody's gonna get that joke.
hey, somebody in the future did. But that like Twitter doesn't matter. So I get wanting to be a character on Twitter. I like trust me, my Twitter profile, even you know, the writer of my favorite comic books ever, Scott Snyder's like, oh, I know the Reed Pile, it's that little circle with the R in it. You guys, I know you guys. I'm like, that's right.
Yeah.
That's the persona.
The
That's the persona.
yeah, I know. It definitely the Team Hammerfist Twitter account, which is, you know, essentially my personal Twitter. It's such a weird thing. Like I definitely had that sort of mental process of like, it's just Twitter. It doesn't matter what I say. It's
No one
not
gives a
real.
shit.
It's not real.
No.
And you know, and even then, you know, there's a title belt out there that tweets. And
Tweets.
yeah, I don't know who's in charge of it, but
So just to put a bow on this, and then we'll get back to I made a joke on New Year's Day. I said, Happy New Year to everyone, and specifically to the 30 people who interact with me on Freebird app. And do you know how many likes, retweets, and responses I got combined?
I do not.
17.
Hey, that's more than I get, Rick.
I have 731 followers, maybe 35, depending on the day. I made a joke that of the 730, only the 30 interact with me. Of the 30 who interact with me, I actually only got a total, including my wife and you, of 17. Oh, and my mom. That was
Oh, yeah,
the
but
again,
it
17. Like, Twitter is not real. So I love the idea of using Twitter as a way to like you be like a megaphone, right? I love that. I mean, you know, don't incite a riot, but other than that, you can pretty much use Twitter for anything you want as a megaphone.
don't use it to incite a political and you know insurrection.
Yeah, don't try a coup on Twitter and you won't get your account banned. Anyway, so when T-Bar says this about Sammy Guevara and doesn't even have the balls to at him, I'm just like, yes, bring me all of the drama. Yes, baby. I love it. Give it to me. Give it to me, daddy. But then, like, the worst thing ever happened. And it was the second half of his statement. And, like, dude, like, what are you doing, man? Like, if you want to call Sammy Guevara, like, some fresh-faced, you know, baby twat or something like that, yeah, all right. I mean, you're being an asshole and, you know, you're being sexist, but okay, sure. But, like, what is the point? Is it, fuck you, man, you're a virgin. You're not cool. Like, what kind of junior high level bullshit is that?
To against Sammy Guevara, no less, who got temp canceled, you know, for stupid shit that he said,
Right.
years ago. But
It's like October.
well, no, it was from like years ago that he
Yeah,
got
I know, but
canceled.
his cancellation was in
Oh yeah,
October.
his cancellation was in October. I don't even. I don't even know. But it sort of. I know the sort of this the topic that we were kind of circling around. It you know it. It the I believe that's what we had written down was the I don't even know how to comment on T-Bar.
So
Yeah.
the idea here is that T-Bar kind of is dumb
Yeah.
for saying that.
Yeah.
But he's also a dude. he's a jock. He's like, he's just like me. He's like EC3. He's like anybody who does a lot of working out and wants to be big and bad and sometimes pops off at the mouth like an idiot. I've done that. He's human. And we as a whole, speaking of Sammy Guevara getting canceled, we tend to put pro wrestlers, specifically pro wrestlers, onto a very high pedestal. People are like, well, Jackson Riker shouldn't be saying shit that he shouldn't be saying, and Drake, the ref, shouldn't be on Parler. And yeah, I agree. I'm not a fan of any of that either. I'm not a fan of that. These are just humans who their whole purpose is that they're entertainers. Like nobody runs down the fact that Tom Brady was wearing a MAGA hat for years. There's
MMA people certainly like they don't know it, which is like MMA being or UFC being like the next closest thing WWE. Nobody if somebody from the UFC said something really stupid on Twitter, no one's gonna think twice about it.
They're just gonna say, well, that guy's a meathead, who cares?
Yeah, exactly. It's very interesting that wrestling gets put on such this high pedestal. I don't know why. It was for all of the negativity and shit that wrestling gets. I don't understand why the why are they held in such why they have why
High
standard?
esteem, yeah. Why such high regard?
Yeah,
I
why
don't
is
know. It is, I think it's because wrestling, up until very recently, had a very good back and forth on Twitter with its followers.
yeah.
And I think that, because of Twitch and because of any number of ways that you can get in contact with wrestlers, and wrestlers, everyone knows that it's a work, right?
Yeah.
That I think we were asking wrestlers a bit too much of themselves. Like,
I
we
agree.
want you to be funny and entertaining and cool and edgy, but also you have to be understanding that you're speaking to people. So I don't know. Like, T-Bar popping off at the mouth on Twitter to me just seemed like a 24-hour who cares, but it became such an ordeal, and it got me thinking about all these other times that we've been so mad at pro wrestlers for just being normal and talking shit.
Yeah, I know I said it like when we've talked, pre talking about the show. It not only are wrestlers people too, they're not. If they were whole people, they wouldn't be wrestlers. Wrestlers are just as broken, and they're some of the most broken and weird of us all. One would argue you or I are more of a complete mentally sane person than average wrestler number four. I'm sure, like general terms, obviously, I'm sure there's plenty of wrestlers who are perfectly
Well,
normal.
yeah, wrestlers by a whole are physical artists, and artists tend to be kind of nuts. It's what makes art happen.
Yeah, exactly.
I In front of this really amazing painting that my Uncle Steve, who recently passed away, he did when he was about my age. And I love it. It means nothing to anyone except when I look at it, I see rage and I see anger and I see anguish and I see lots of really great pieces of art. Over here, there's the piece that you did for me. And when I look at that piece of artwork, I just see frivolity and fun and ridiculousness and absurdity. Art is very subjective, but artists by and large have to sort of be a little out of touch with reality. It's how art is made. So pro wrestlers.
Like for that painting and a painting that I've done I did it for school and I have it at home now, and similar to the painting behind you, the one that I made, I made those paintings by sort of putting on the headphones and zoning out and just like feeling a Nine Inch Nails song. That's where like I forget which one it was for you, but the one for me it was Every Day Is Exactly the Same. So just sort of zoning out and getting out there to a song from fucking Nine Inch Nails. Like none of that happens with good mental play. If Trent Reznor was a healthy mental person, I that song would not have existed.
I mean, I dare anyone to listen to sunshine, lollipops and rainbows. Like, whoever wrote that was very upset. I guarantee you. I guarantee you. So, just to come all the way back to our beginning topic here, what Dijak did on Twitter was stupid, But the amount of people just spewing endless hate on a guy for calling another guy a dweeb, a virgin dweeb. I'm like, yeah, I mean, again, that's very ninth grade,
Yeah.
but also like we needed to devote segments of shows to this.
Yeah, no,
Like, this is what accounts for wrestling news.
it, Dijak is a person and he said something stupid. Like,
And it wasn't anywhere near as stupid as other things have been. Oh my
yeah,
God.
and people, I'm not the, people, we can, the internet is sometimes up in arms about the fact that Chris Jericho is a Trump supporter. I don't like the fact that Chris Jericho is a Trump supporter. I like Chris Jericho. I don't like the fact that he's a Trump supporter. But he's also a person, and he's a person, and he is allowed to have stupid opinions. And why are wrestlers not allowed to have stupid opinions?
I think it's a little bit more than that. I think wrestlers are allowed to have stupid opinions. I think we get mad that their opinions don't match ours.
Yeah.
And I think you see that playing out a lot, that people get upset that why doesn't this person believe the same way I do? Like, we put a lot of faith into our heroes, and into
In some way, I think part of it might be because in it, if when you're as deep in wrestling as a lot of us are, wrestlers are, well, maybe not you and me specifically, but the wrestlers are sort of like people's superheroes. And but this is a
They
now.
still are to me in many ways, absolutely.
And now, but now we exist in a system where you can actively, directly interact with your superheroes. You can,
Yeah.
and what do you do if you find out that Superman is a dickhead? Like, how do you,
Or what you specifically consider
or
to be
yeah,
a
what you
dickhead.
specifically consider to be, yeah, he, what do you do when Aquaman says something that doesn't jive with your personal, like, what you consider to be right and wrong? Like, it's a weird thing.
It's jarring. It's very jarring.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, by this time next week, no one's going to remember that Dijak said it called Sammy Guevara a stupid little tweeb virgin. But I'd like to point out, if he called him a pencil neck geek, we would all be very happy with
It's
that.
true. Yeah. Let's see. You got to get your references right. That's fine. It's all.
Yeah. I mean, all Dijak did was try to update on the pencil neck geek and failed miserably. Jesse, you may have noticed by the reflection in my
Yeah,
glasses,
I
I
know.
turned on my TV. I did that for two reasons. One, I wanted to check the time and I realized it's fucking impossible the way that we're doing it because I only have my phone as my watch. And two, I wanted to then jump us into our next segment and our entire new topic of discussion. We're leaving wrestling. We're done with that. I'm tired of it for now. Let's move on.
Yeah, I know I can't check the time on my washing machine as much as I'd like to.
Washing machine should have the time on
Yeah,
it.
I'm gonna have to
Sorry,
write
question.
GE a harshly worded.
Yes, a note, if you will.
Yeah.
All right, so let me see here. Let me get back to home. There we go.
Yes.
All right, Jesse Long, when I bought my Roku TV, my TCL Roku
Yeah.
TV for
Same here.
$300, this episode not sponsored by a goddamn thing. I got it specifically so I could watch Netflix. I had Netflix on my PS4. I wanted to put my PS4 in my game room. I wanted a TV. So when I bought Roku, and when I bought the Roku, I also had Amazon Prime. So I said, well, I get Prime Video for free with Amazon Prime, so I'll download that app. I finally got around to buying Hulu because there was a lot of great TV shows on Hulu at the time, and all of my favorite dumb shows were on Hulu. So those were the three apps that I had for the longest time. It also, excuse me, it also came with the Roku channel, Pluto TV, Crackle, YouTube preloaded, Spectrum was on there, and then I got my new iPhone, and my new iPhone said, "Hey buddy, don't you want Apple TV? It's free for a year, and oh by the way, when it restarts, which I think it probably did, because now that I realize it's been a year,
Yeah,
it's
I was
only."
thinking that too. I was like, I might be paying for Apple TV Plus now.
Yeah, but it only costs you like $5 annually or
Yeah,
something. And I'm
it's
just
real
like,
cheap.
oh, okay.
Yeah.
So Apple TV gets on there, and then HBO Max is now on here. And now that's five, and then soon it's going to be Disney, and Disney's going to replace Hulu, but it's also going to give me Hulu, and then I'm going to get ESPN with that. I'm going to get Nat Geo with it. I'm going to get all of this stuff. And then this week, or last week rather, before in between our most recent shows, this newest feature, which is being highlighted, you could get the Magnolia Table with Joanna Gaines exclusively on Discovery Plus.
Magnolia Table. That's the name of my new finisher, the Magnolia Table.
Magnolia Table, Magnolia Table. I am the Magnolia Table. It's like a really well put together hardwood table that, a friend of hers had to build and bring it to the ring, and like only what's his name? Oh, I can't think of his name. Is he's the deathmatch wrestler here in Orlando, big dude. Oh my
I
God. The hillbilly heart, not the hillbilly hot throb, the hipster heart throb.
Oh, Casanova Valentine. I don't think he's
Yeah,
there yet.
Casanova Valentine. Casanova Valentine should put people through the Magnolia Table.
It's
That is a hipster
very
heart throb move.
tasteful tablescape, exactly.
Usually in a Patagonia or something like that, or exactly.
Wrestling needs more like tasteful tablescapes. I think if somebody took the time to like assemble a really nice tablescape and then they fucking like power bombed them through it, I think it would mean more.
It would. That's how you get the people to watch. But Discovery Plus was like that, for me, that's the line in the sand. Like, okay, we're done. I cannot.
I can't. I feel like there might be an even more egregious one, but I feel like Discovery Plus has got to be it. Like, come on, guys. Like, really? What can you possibly spend $6 a month on? What myth? But like reruns of MythBusters,
Mythbusters, right? And like Peacock,
MythBusters, The Search. I don't know.
have you seen how you can buy Peacock? And depending on how many episodes of The Office you want to watch, there are different
I
levels
feel
of
like Peacock would
Peacock.
be it. Peacock is probably it's on that same level of egregiousness as Disney or as Discovery. And the only thing is that Peacock can be like free. They have like three different tiers. It's like here's like free, but then there's like premium. There's like the freemium, but then like if you have ever like sniffed Comcast, you can get that. You can get it for free, but you get like the premium shit for free. I think I have Peacock for totally for free, like free and clear, based off of something that like myself or my mom signed up. Yeah, it has, but like
Right.
I can't. I never once. I opened Peacock once, and okay. I don't even like The Office.
So let me see. I don't want to
What is
download Discovery Plus.
Can you get into Discovery Plus without having to pay?
I'm trying. Let me see here. View screenshots. Let's see about view screenshots on Discovery Plus. So Discovery Plus, just so you know, Discovery Plus. When you open it up, you're greeted with the following: the two brothers who destroy your house and rebuild it,
Okay.
the greatest champion of all time, Guy Fieri, God bless, a lioness, just a random lioness, a woman who appears to be dressed in blue scrubs. Oh, I'm guessing that's Dr. Pimple
Yeah,
Popper. I'm a,
Evangeline. Yeah.
and then Chip and Joanna Gaines. And on the bottom of this image, you get to see what you're getting when you get Discovery Plus, which is, are you ready?
Yeah.
You get HGTV,
Okay.
you get TLC,
Okay.
you get the Food Network,
Yeah.
you get Discovery, obviously. You get, I don't even know what that logo is because it looks like it's ID, but it's like cut off in the middle.
It's like their crime channel. Crime and like
Oh, for
supernatural spooky shit.
And then something that's like a circle that is impossible to read. I'm trying to find a different version of it. I guess that's, oh, Animal Planet. Yeah, that's Animal Planet.
It's like an elephant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, and the Travel
Oh,
Channel.
thank God.
So
You know, oh.
all of your favorite shows to put on in the background while you're playing on your phone are available to you at any time on Discovery Plus.
Oh God, Rick, how much like all of my favorite exploitation shows. Like I yearn to have an app where it just, TLC exploits, people and their problems for money. Like I ooh man, I how much
As someone who's,
what bargain can I get this wares for?
It better be a lot because you have an exclusive 90-day journey, Russ and Paola, where you get to see Russ and Paola's life after 90 Day Fiancé, after 90 Day Fiancé, Happily Ever
Oh,
after 90 Day Fiancé, Happily Ever After the Return.
I'm sold. I'm canceling everything. I'm canceling
Oh,
everything. I'm gonna sell my PlayStation just to finance the Discovery Plus habit, which I am now addicted to, so I can only
like,
watch 90 Day Fiance and
but
Documentary.
you get all of Planet Earth. You get
The
Planet
entirety
Earth
of Planet
Plus.
Earth.
No, you can't possibly have Planet Earth, Jesse. How could you?
I mean,
How could you?
I for all of what Discovery Plus is trying to give me, I can only assume that they're giving me the world and more.
You can
Rick,
watch a
how
show
else am
called
I going to be able to binge watch Bobby and Giada, their strangely non-platonic relationship going around the world?
The last thing on this
How am I
menu is
supposed to watch my feet are killing me on binge? Like, how am I supposed? What am I going to do? I need my dwarf Amish bakers with 75 children fix. I need it. I need it.
All right. So some of the highlighted shows. This is 55,000 plus episodes with more added daily. You get Chopped Challenge at Home.
Okay, fine,
You want to
fine.
see?
We're dunking on this a lot, but every time you mention something good from the Food Network, I'm like, all right, fuck, all right, okay.
You could get Worst Cooks. You could get BattleBots Bounty Hunters.
Fuck. Okay. You gotta give me Chopped and BattleBots. I might sign up.
You get a show called Brother versus Brother, which I've seen the female version of that in very short 13-minute documentaries a number of times. Beyond Borders,
What app
which
is
I'm
that
guessing
on,
is
Rick?
it's just you download it, it's there forever.
Oh.
You get 90 Day Diaries, which I'm guessing is another 90 Day Fiancé thing. Paranormal Lockdown. I just need to know what the fuck that is. Tell me more about what a paranormal lockdown is, as opposed to your normal lockdown, of course.
They do a Ouija board and then they lock the doors behind you and be like, good luck.
And then there's a show in the
Yeah.
bottom right-hand corner that for some reason they're highlighting, and it just infuriates me. And all I see is Lottery Dream Home.
Lottery Dream Home?
So I'm guessing it's Cribs, but for people who are less deserving than rap stars and music moguls. Oh, and not to sound, also like I don't mean like rap stars like Dr. Dre and people who've actually worked for a living. I mean like guys like Tekashi 6ix9ine and Lil Pump.
I don't even
Lil Nas X had a number one album, and he gave Trent Reznor a number one song in the world. So Lil Nas X, you are the man, and you will always get a pass from me.
There
Also, very pretty boy. Anyway, but yeah, a lottery dream. Jesse Long, how do you not want Lottery Dream Home?
I,
Tell me.
Rick, I'm waiting for this show to end so I can just kick my kids out of the living room and watch nothing. The glut of garbage. I wonder if maybe this is what non-wrestling fans would react if they got on the WWE Network. And somebody there's a non-wrestling version of this show where it's just a bunch of like TLC and Discovery weebs sitting there going like, NXT, what the fuck is that? What the fuck is
In fairness, they
Bray,
would probably
what the
dunk
fuck is
on.
a Great American Bash?
I was gonna say maybe keep them away from Legends House.
They would love Legends House. Oh. And I think WWE probably wanted that shit to end up on TLC or Discovery, and then the network happened.
A friendly reminder, TLC literally stands for the Learning Channel. So whenever
There
you're
has not,
watching a show on
no,
TLC,
there's been zero learning. There is no more learning. I can learn what
learning,
a zit sounds like when it pops. I can learn how
learn what it's
gross
like to
feet
marry
are.
a foreigner, learn what it's like to be swindled by a foreigner,
Yes.
learn what it's like to live a 600-pound life. Gonna give you a heads up, it's tough. It's tough to be 600
Yeah.
pounds. That's a difficult life. You've now seen
Yeah.
the
You can learn how much people are willing to be exploited for money on television.
I'm gonna let you in on a secret, Jesse Long. I'm pissed they haven't come to
Yeah, I
me.
mean, this is 100%, if, yeah. If the second TLC hits us up with My Stupid Podcast Life, we're golden.
I should have already been on that
I
show.
know, exactly.
I already look like a bad Xerox of Marc Maron to begin with. Why am I not? I'm like that one episode of Clone Wars where they find the Bad Batch. I'm like the Bad Batch for Marc Maron. Like, that's me.
There we go. Amazing.
Thank you.
Rick,
Now, Jesse, I meant
we've given the
what
Discovery Company way more time than they deserve.
I was going to say. We have one last thing to discuss before we move on. On HBO Max, I have found finally that I get to watch Doctor Who once again after literally years of not being able to watch this show.
So, what was
And
the last that you had watched Doctor Who before?
the last I had ever seen of Doctor Who, I somehow managed to watch the end of 12,
Okay.
where he regenerates to 13. I had literally seen 13 once,
Yeah.
and that was the last I had ever seen of Doctor Who until 2 weeks ago when HBO Max came to Roku. And since then, the wife and I have literally just barrel rolled through every episode of Doctor Who that is on there. It was only 20 episodes
Yeah.
at plus two Christmas
There's not,
specials.
yeah,
Like,
I would say we're not getting a lot of Doctor Who. It's pretty depressing, and we're talking about this has been like 3 years worth of content, and maybe even more. I don't even know. Time has no,
there is, yeah, time does not exist in our
time
reality anymore.
now. But it's, when I think about, Jodie's first episodes, I'm like, God, that was so long ago.
Yeah.
And yeah, and the last year, this pat in 2019, at some point in 2019, we got the second season of the 13th Doctor. And I remember we started it, and then before I even realized what was happening, it was over. And I was like, really? This is it? We waited so long, and this is all we got. And so, okay, so this sort of ties in. It's been announced that the 13th Doctor is going to be regenerating at the end of this upcoming season. Or, it hasn't been announced, but it's been said. Jodie's,
Right.
and
She done. She gone.
which, I mean, it's common. There's, she they it's been sort of referenced that, both Tennant and Smith and Capaldi also did 3 seasons. And so it feels like we haven't got a lot of Jodie, but it's gonna be 3 seasons worth. So you've
Yeah,
got
but in
fresh
fairness,
course.
one of those seasons, one of Tennant's seasons is like 34 episodes long.
Yeah, I know. Yeah,
So
the Tennant seasons are a hell of a lot longer. No, there was that one season where it was just like 3 specials. So,
that's true.
and then if you look
Six
at
of
one of
one.
Capaldi's seasons, at the end of it is Christmas special and then another Christmas special. For an entire year.
I see where you're going.
Yeah,
I see what you're
but
saying.
it's been sad. The volume of Doctor Who that we are given on a yearly basis has been slowly collapsing like a star. Like it's, but I'm worried there's not going to be a supernova at the end. But so what are your thoughts on the 13th Doctor seasons?
So the first season, which I love the beautiful irony that 13 starts with 11, by the way. That's great. I pulled it up just for reference. The first episode, The Woman Who Fell to Earth, was very herky jerky, but that's sort of par for the course with regeneration
Yeah.
episodes. There's not that, like, you're not really sure who this doctor is yet. They're not really sure who they are. So, I like the Man Who Fell to Earth reference. It's a great, that's cool. The Ghost Monument episode was okay, but then they really start getting into it. Rosa might be one of the best episodes of Doctor Who ever
No, I agree
for
100%.
they tackle so much and they get so into reality of today. Like, Rosa is just as good of an episode as the first episode of Watchmen in terms of you need to learn about history of people of color in America, and that's a great episode. Arachnids in the UK was very good. That's fun. And then you just start getting into a lot of really bizarre stuff. Demons of the Punjab was interesting, also very sad.
There hasn't been an episode where I go like, well, that was shit and I'm disappointed I watched it. But nothing has ever really landed. I would say,
Right.
Spyfall, the stuff with Spyfall, the Master, that was pretty fun.
That's
But
the next season, yeah.
I would say I will say I it's nothing against Jodie as the Doctor though. I remember I feel like
Oh,
I remember in the very beginning, after the first like episode or so, remember saying to my wife, she feels like one of the few doctors who's really sort of hit the ground and she just sort of landed perfectly in being the doctor. She sort of inhabited the doctor perfectly. And
yeah.
but the episodes writ large have been sort of like, okay, yep.
I'm
Which for me is kind of disappointing. I had a lot of maybe it's me. Maybe I had too many high expectations because I fucking loved Broadchurch. Broadchurch was an absolutely amazing show, and that was the show that Chris Chibnall, the showrunner, did. Well, I don't know if it wasn't directly before, but he did it. That's the other thing that I've seen of his, and that one had,
Yeah.
ironically, lots of Doctor Who people in it, including
Yeah.
Jodie and Tennant, and lots of other people, and Olivia Colman's in it too.
All right. Let me say this. I'm gonna make you very upset.
Okay.
I'm gonna put this idea in here. I think Jodie as the doctor was damn near perfect. I love her talking to herself. I love her talking to herself.
Yeah.
I love that she breaks the fourth wall by doing that, but doesn't actually break the fourth wall. She thinks for you as the viewer, as the doctor. Like, why would the doctor say that? She literally says those things. Like, why am I even saying this? And I love that. I felt most of those episodes, Demons of the Punjab, Kerblam especially, was why am I watching woke Doctor Who?
Yeah.
Like, it's Doctor Woke.
Yeah.
And they the Kerblam episode, man, they laid that shit on thick. The
Which one
same thing with the
was
episode
which one?
Kerblam is the Amazon episode.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Where like call your Kablam guy. She's, oh, I love the Kablam guy. He always shows up. And it turns out it's a big murderous autonomous
And then
and
Vegas Trump as
oh yeah, and Mr. Biggest Trump and our Arachnids of the UK.
Yeah.
And then you have I thought Rosa was very well done. Rosa was incredibly well done, but when you got to Kablam, and then there's a couple episodes in the next season where like the plastic episode where everyone gets like turned into like Praxeus, the Praxeus episode,
Yeah.
where the doctor's explaining like, yeah, you humans, you've just dumped all this plastic into the water and now it's inside of you and now there's an alien. And I'm like, okay, I get it. We're killing the fucking planet. You've been over that.
Yeah.
Like,
Yeah.
I don't need Doctor Who. It's a very weird role that she plays
Doctor Who's
because in
always
one
been
breath,
very woke. Like it's always been pretty woke, and but in the past it was never so ham-fisted. Like there's an
yes.
amazing episode with 12 where the sort of a follow-up to the 10th to the 50th anniversary special with the whatever the ones that look like big nasty tongues, the shape-shifting ones, Zygons.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Like the it was the season of 12 where everything was a two-parter, so it was like the Zygon invasion and the Zygon inversion. And Clara and Zygon Clara are like arguing, and they want to fucking like nuke the planet. Or the Stewart, Kate Stewart is they're arguing. Whatever they want to, they both have their fingers on the button. They want to fucking blow up the goddamn planet. And 12 does this amazing speech on war, and I just like the other night we just put it on just because it's such an amazing speech of. But this current stuff, it almost is like we're woke for the sake of being that.
Right, and it becomes difficult because in the same breath, Jodie as the doctor is telling us that we're killing our planet, but she's also fighting for every human she can find because humans are so incredible. And I'm just
Yeah.
like, what are we saying though? Are you saying that humans are incredible, but that we keep killing our planet? Who are you mad at, Doctor Who? Who's
Yeah.
the wrong doctor here? I don't know. There's also so there's also kind of.
It's disappointing because I do really enjoy her as the doctor. I kind of
Same.
I feel like if she had been the doctor during like the past couple of showrunners, it might have been better. I'm going to miss her as the doctor, but I'm not going to miss her seasons, you know?
Yeah, no, that's fair. I think that giving her, they gave her a much, usually the doctor has a companion. Sometimes we see the doctor with two companions.
Yeah, like Nine had like, you know, like Rose and Jack and.
Yeah, but they really hamstrung her because she has to cart around three other people. And at first I'm like, oh, wow, three people in it. But the shows are so much more about the other, like the relationship between Graham and Ryan is probably the reason to watch the show.
Yeah, no, it's weird. It definitely feels like, you know, you look at it and you're like, okay, there's the doctor. And I feel like Yaz is the real companion. And then yeah. Graham and Ryan are sort of, they're like little mini Torchwood that gets glommed onto the show. It's.
Yeah. And I feel bad for Yaz because, like, we only get a very small amount of her story about her running away from home, yeah. trying to kill herself. All this stuff, like, shows up out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And it's never discussed again.
Yeah, I'm... spoilers, but, I mean, because it's common knowledge. But spoilers, Graham and Ryan leave at the end of this Christmas special that just happened. So the next season...
It hasn't uploaded yet, so...
Right. But so the next season is going to be just the Doctor and Yaz, I believe, unless they add another companion. Fuck, I don't know. But I'm looking.
He's a little dog.
What was that?
They're going to give him a dog or a cat companion. Cat's name is going to be Grudge.
I'm looking forward to seeing more of just the Doctor and Yaz because I do like Yaz as a companion. She seems to be one of the stronger companions, but yeah, so little.
Yes,
she's one of those. A lot of the companions have sort of just like as the show goes on, they morph into sort of like a little proto version of the Doctor themselves. And Yaz is sort of 100%. She's 100% inhabited that. And but she's like the third wheel, which she's like the main companion, but she's also the third wheel.
It's been a very weird couple of seasons, and there's a lot of positive, but I also think that it's unfortunate that we have the stream of Doctor Who, because I got to watch, you know, 20 hours of Doctor Who in less than 2 days,
yeah,
essentially, and that may have colored me.
That might have been the fact you might have just gotten Doctor Who overload. But like, even retro, you know, me remembering it, like, I at no point am I sitting there going like, well, I'm just done watching Doctor Who. I didn't have that moment.
Right, not at all.
I'm like, all right, I'm done. I never just sat there going like, well, I'm fucking done. I don't know, maybe it's the wrestling fan in me and I just don't ever want to give up on it. But it hasn't done anything to make me actively not want to watch the show, but it's been kind of a... and like I said to you last night, you know, this past New Year's special, it was good, but it wasn't special.
I'll end it with this. The Doctor is at its best. Doctor Who is at its best when the Doctor has a great villain to work with.
Yeah.
12 had the most magnificent villain when we found out that Missy was actually the Master, and that was incredible. And that was the first time we'd seen the Master in
a while.
Long time. Yeah. Since Tenet, honestly.
It was since Tenet Tenet's regeneration episode. We hadn't seen since the John Sim. Like 11 completely skipped over the Master entirely.
Which I think was great. Like, I wanted the Master to just sort of live with 10, and then when the Master came back for 12 as Missy, I was like, this is brilliant. And then there was this sort of this weird sexual tension between them, and it was fabulous.
I'm getting into the season with 12, and Missy's just sort of been like sprinkled in, and I'm so looking forward to rewatching that. And she was great.
And then we get Spymaster, which
older
is
an Doctor
incredible Who. Reveal.
The yeah. previous seasons of Doctor Who have done such an amazing job. And I don't know, maybe this is sort of like a weird little coincidence thing, has done such an amazing job of creating these amazing female characters that you just absolutely love, whether they're good or evil. You know, River Song and, you know, Missy and Amy and, you know, like these
Rose.
Rose, you know, Rose, and they're like, yeah, some of them are like Martha and Donna and whatever. And some people hated Clara. I like Clara.
Hey, Dr. Donna, but, you leave Dr. Donna alone.
Yeah, exactly. But they've done a great job of creating these sort of like iconic, lasting sci-fi female characters. A River Song, I feel like, is this, you know, she sort of, well, not transcends the show, but she's one of those things that just sticks with the show forever. And then the fact that they turn around and the show is about a woman, and it kind of didn't really stick.
Nah, I can see that.
But,
all right. Yeah. We're running out of show, Jesse Long. It's time for us to move on.
Yes.
It is time for us to move on to our favorite topic of the calendar year. Jesse Long, I have to ask you a very important question.
Yes.
What's pissing you off?
What's pissing me off? What's pissing me off is unfortunately tied to the death of Brody Lee. And what's pissing me off is the people that couldn't just leave well enough alone, and they are actively going after Amanda Huber and trying to get her to admit something that was or was not true. They're trying to force her to admit that, you know, he died of something that he may or may not have died. Like, we will never fucking know if he actually died of COVID or not.
Focus on what's pissing you off. Don't focus on trying to tell us.
No.
Just focus on what's pissing you
off. It's just the people, for all the positive that came out of Brody Lee's death, the negative, the people that just came after fucking Amanda, just fucking pissed me off. Like, Jesus fucking Christ, this woman just lost her husband, and, you know, he was, for all intents and purposes, he was a great guy. You know, it wasn't even a relief that he's dead. You know, like, but it pissed me off. What pissed you off this week?
So I was tremendously pissed off when the story broke about somebody capturing a manatee.
Oh.
And writing the name Trump into it, either as a protest or as a, I don't know, a joke. I don't know. At first, I was very, very frustrated and angry when I thought when the story broke, because I thought they'd actually carved the word into the back of the animal. When it was informed that no, basically somebody's just sort of held it in place for a minute and literally put their finger through the algae. So it'd be like if you ran your finger on my beard. Yeah, or like you rubbed a cat's fur the wrong way.
I thought I was under the impression that they physically like knifed it in.
No. So basically, manatees are obviously big, slow moving, you know, benevolent beasts of the water. They don't do much. But they build up a lot of algae on them.
Yeah. I understand that.
And so somebody wiped the algae, wiping clean me on a dirty car.
Yeah.
But the idea that this was either done as a joke or as a, you know, as some sort of protest, or I don't know what. Manatees are like my spirit animal. Like, they're the only creatures in this world that manage to survive but have no purpose. And they're doing a good job of surviving without any real purpose. And they're one of these rare entities. Like, hippos, by the way, are fucking monsters. Don't ever get near a hippo if you see them in the wild. They will fucking eat you.
Yeah.
More people are eaten by hippos than are bitten by sharks. Look it up. It's true. Manatees are those, you know, like, cutesy things that you read about, that you think a hippo is. It's just this big, lumbering, literally sea cow. It just floats there. It doesn't do anything. So I love manatees. So the fact that somebody felt the need to literally using the term properly here, molest one of them, made me furious. It just pissed me off so much.
No, I agree. Though I will say Dave Bautista coming out and offering.
Don't spoil it.
Okay, fine.
Don't you have to ask me something,
Jesse? What did you learn this week, Rick?
I learned that Dave Bautista, Drax the Destroyer, is actually a big fan
Vice
of manatees. What's that?
Vice President Drax on Twitter.
That's fine. Is actually a big fan of manatees, and as a Floridian, not native, but moved here, lives here, native of D.C., now a Floridian, has offered a $20,000 bounty to find out who the asshole who fucked with that manatee is so that he can be
Yes.
brought into the proper authorities, because that is something that you can't do. You cannot mess with a protected species like that. And Drax, Dave Bautista, a guy who I know who may or may not have threatened to murder you for calling him Bautista in the middle of an NXT arena, and then we all pointed at you at the time. Yes, that was you, Jesse Long.
It was definitely me, not you.
I learned that my adoration of Dave Bautista is certainly warranted and definitely a good thing. Jesse.
Just when you think the your love of Dave Bautista has reached its zenith, he finds a way to just lift that ceiling up even higher.
Just keep going.
I saw that and I remember and I immediately texted Nikki. I was like, "Bust out your magnifying glasses. We're going to home assassin."
Could use that 20K.
Yes.
Jesse, what did you learn this week?
I learned that I learned that as much as I enjoy being a lazy sack of shit and just a human manatee floating through my office, God damn it, when it's dead at work, I don't know about you. I don't know what maybe it's different for you because you work from home and you probably have things to actually do. But I cannot. It's such a weird thing. I don't. I'm a slacker by nature. I'm like, I don't like work. I don't want to work. I don't like working. But then when I'm at work and there is no work, I am fucking miserable. And I, it's just a, it, I'm such a, I'm so yin and yang on.
It's funny. You are becoming a capitalist as you age, much in the
Yeah.
same way I have always been. And a good friend of mine, my buddy Charles,
Yes.
will tell you until he's blue in the face, let alone you blue in the face, that he is an anarchist. But during his time, and that no one should work. Working is stupid, and everyone should get a UBI from the government. And if you want to be an artist, go make art. And if you want to do this, go do that. And you want to be a wrestler, go be a wrestler. And that's what humans should be doing. But when he was still working regularly his full-time job before COVID, he also would fret about the company not making plan and how people just don't work and they goof off all day and he's stuck picking up all of everyone else's garbage and how he has to work four times as hard as everyone else. And I'd always look at him and be like, huh, so the people who aren't doing their job, you don't like them because they're stealing from massive corporate America? Well, I don't like that I have to do all the work for them. And I'm like, who said you had to do that? Who's forcing you to do that? And then he's like, well, I said, it's your fucking work ethic. It's your work ethic because you're a capitalist pig dog, just like me, just like everyone else in this stupid country, because we've spent 30 fucking years being brainwashed and told that this is how Americans are supposed to be. Jesse Long. Welcome.
Capitalist pig dog is the it's new comic you're working on.
Oh, that's an old joke. Capitalist Pig Dog is forever ago.
Oh, there we go.
That was a joke from the commies in the 50s. They would call Americans capitalist pig dog.
Well, comrade, where can they find you on Twitter?
My friends, you can find me on Twitter at the Read Pile. You could also, if you really don't want to talk to me at all, find me at my actual name at Rick Sussman. Don't bother following it. I don't use it because I don't care.
Exactly.
You can follow me on Twitter and you can stay tuned for our show, The Read Pile, every Sunday morning, The Read Pile Live. We review comics. We talk about nerd culture. My life partner and wife, Elle Lestrange, she is there always to tell me that the books that I'm reviewing are dumb and the books that she reviews are great. But Jesse Long, if they want to get a hold of you, what's that?
I believe they call that marriage, Rick.
That's fine. If they want to get a hold of you, and more importantly, all of us here at the Wrestling
Yes.
Nerd Radio Network, how do they do
You
that?
can find us on Twitter at Team Hammerfist, TeamHammerFist. We are on Twitter. We are on Instagram, not that I ever fucking use it, because I'm 33 and I don't know how Instagram works. And
I'm the same
you
as Snapchat.
find, what was that?
I'm the same as Snapchat.
There you go, exactly. Snapchat is for filters only. And you can find the Wrestling Nerds Radio Network on Twitter at VWNRN. You can
WNRN.
find all of our entities on Facebook while it still exists. I give it a week. You can find our merch at fullygimmick.com. There's lots of wonderful things there. You can find all sorts of magical items that have either are emblazoned with our logo or a logo that I have designed. There are many.
What
many.
About a Washington Caucasian shirt?
You can find that on any reputable bootleg site on the internet. Go to cooltees.cc and you will probably be able to find a Washington Caucasian shirt, just to ensure that I absolutely never receive any monetary compensation for a design that I made like three kids ago. And then, as always, 3217 6 jerks.
3217 6 jerks. Call Tom. He feels bad. For the incomparable, the amazing, the artist best known as the American Dadass, Jesse Long, I am the Sussman, Rick Sussman, reminding you that if you enjoyed this, I'm very sorry for you. And we will be back in 2 weeks' time to discuss more things in a 2 to 3 second delay from Jesse's house to mine. So, the Sussman, Rick Sussman, the American Dadass, Jesse Long, Team Hamifist, the Wrestling Nerd Radio Network, give us some fucking money. We love you. We will see you guys real soon. Jesse, get us out of here.